Hey everyone, Homes.com knows having the right agent can make or break your home search. That's why they provide home shoppers with an agent directory that gives you a detailed look at each agent's experience, like the number of closed sales in a specific neighborhood, average price range, and more. It lets you easily connect with all the agents in the area you're searching so you can find the right agent with the right experience and ultimately the right home for you. Homes.com, we've done your homework.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. With me, as always, is Charles W. Chuck Bryant.
Pardon me, Josh.
Before we get down, seriously, I just had a flashback. I used to do the show with Chris Paulette.
Oh.
And anybody who listens to Tech Stuff,
wow.
If you don't, you should, will know that he is among the punniest people on the planet.
Are you invoking Paulette and my name in the same sentence?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You shoot puns like that at me, you get the big guns.
All right. Well, pardon me then.
Before we get to this business, right, I just want to say big welcome to a certain individual, right?
Yeah.
Little girl named Sophia Milan Harris was born today, July 22nd at 6:28 a.m. She's the daughter of my future brother and sister-in-law, mm-hmm. Josh Harris and Mika Harris.
People are probably like, Josh had a baby and didn't even tell us.
Right, yeah. The other Josh.
Yeah.
Yumi and her sister are both with Josh's, so isn't that adorable?
And I met both of them, right, at your birthday party.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, the one I was on a horse on.
That was awesome.
Yeah. So welcome to the world, Sophia Milan, who is going to be called Mila from now on. So thank you very much, Chuck, for indulging that.
Sure. And since you brought it up, I should point out that at Josh's birthday party, there were a pony, a horse, bunnies, and goats.
Yeah.
It was like the farm was brought in for the party, and there weren't enough kids there to justify it, so we all know what really was going on.
Yeah. Yumi was like, you're so spoiled, I'm going to get you a pony,
yeah.
And she got me a pony.
Of course, Emily spent like half the party in the goat crate, so.
Well, they were pretty cute goats. One looked like pure satanic evil, but the other one was just beyond adorable.
Little pygmy goat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, it was 3 months old, so it was really little and cute.
That was awesome.
Yes, so baby goats, human babies so far. It's been like a minute and a half, and we're already like the cute factor is through the roof, man.
Well, we can take care of that with one fell swoop.
Yeah, let's talk about pretty much the exact opposite of that, shall we?
Yes.
Okay, buddy, I was disheartened to hear that July 10th came and went, and not a lot of people marked it. But this day was the day that Barack Obama...
Mm-hmm.
Mr.
President.
Mr. Change, the president,
sure,
went past John Adams' presidency or administration neglect of clemency requests.
Well, so he waited longer than any other president?
Yes.
Interesting.
It is very interesting. John Adams went 536 days, and I should say July 10th is the day that Obama tied him.
You mean John Adams, the second... the first vice president of the United States?
Yes, that same John Adams.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, it's been several days since then, and there's been no action taken on any requests for pardons from Obama. And a lot of people are like, that's kind of weird. He's in third place right now to Clinton and George W. Bush.
He's busy.
Yeah, but as you'll find out, he really... doesn't have to do too terribly much.
Right.
And the other thing is, what's odd is he's not doing anything. He's not sitting there just denying him, right? He's not doing anything. He inherited a couple of thousand requests for clemency.
Uh-huh.
And he, I think, have had a few thousand more come up. And he hasn't taken any action on any of them. It's really puzzling, and it's not a very talked about news story, but I don't have a good answer why. I haven't been able to find one. I've looked.
Right.
I mean, I looked.
Well, you usually don't hear about clemency much till the last part of a president's final term.
Not necessarily true. I should say.
Well, that's when you. I should say that's when you really hear about it.
Right.
Because that's when they come flying in.
Yeah, and they come hard and fast, mm-hmm. and the real dirty ones come up around then.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
I should say that Obama has pardoned two individuals.
Okay.
They're two turkeys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that he pardoned last Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And seriously, those are the only pardons that he's given so far.
Who started that? Do you have that info?
We don't really know. No one knows.
Oh, really?
They think it was... A lot of people say it was Lincoln, but people have turned up that it was actually Harry Truman,
mm-hmm.
but Truman came up with the idea, possibly. I think Lincoln made a joke about it. Truman came up with the idea, and I think John F. Kennedy was the first to actually ever follow through with it.
Interesting.
That's what I've heard. And I think we talked about it on our Thanksgiving podcast, but I can't remember.
So Lincoln made a joke about it as he hatcheted off the head of a turkey?
Yeah. He okay. said he was going to pardon Tad's turkey.
Right.
Because mom's so crazy these days, I'm going to got to do something for the kid.
Right. Interesting. So then he cut off the head and said, LOL, just kidding.
Right.
All right. So
let's get down to this, shall we?
Presidential pardons. And you wrote this, and this was an awesome article, dude.
Thank you.
Very thorough.
Oh, well, it was one of those interesting ones. Like, the topic's just interesting, you know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you think about it. Chuck, we have a government of that consists of checks and balances, right?
Ideally, sure.
So, I mean, the way it's set up,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Senate has final approval on yeah. the people the president tries to appoint to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
That's a check.
Yeah.
The Senate can come up with bills, laws, but the president has veto power over them.
Yeah.
With the Supreme Court, you can impeach a Supreme Court justice. Did you know that?
Yeah.
I did not. Although it was in the article. So I guess I knew it at one point in time when I was reminded of it. So there's all these checks and balances, except the presidential pardon. It exists in this weird vacuum.
Unchecked.
Outside of everything else, totally unchecked. You can't do anything about it.
Yeah, and I like you pointed out in the article that Congress spends a lot of time when all the pardons come flying in hard and fast toward the end, just kind of like, oh, I can't do anything.
Yeah.
But I noted that the same congressman, they want that pardon too for when they're in trouble.
Right, yeah.
You know?
There's a lot of disingenuous electioneering or politicizing, I guess, with pardoning. But originally, that's not what it was intentionally created for. It has become a political tool, right? And as a result, it's really kind of generated this this ire in public perception. Pretty famously, Gerald Ford took a hit in the public sector, right?
Yeah, he pardoned Nixon.
Yeah.
That was not a very popular move.
No. And that was kind of sweeping because he pardoned Nixon before any charges were ever formally filed, which is a no-no, technically, with pardons. But
and weird and hinky.
Yeah, and he kind of, you know, a lot of people thought Ford was a dummy president. Yeah. Not a smart guy, maybe football injury, I think they said on Dazed and Confused.
Right.
I remember when he died, learning that a lot of people considered him something of a hero because he fell on his sword. He gave up the presidency to heal the country and just get the Nixon era over with by pardoning the guy.
Right.
And just doing it himself, taking the full ire of the American public.
Just said, forget it. I'm out of here.
Right. Another big one was Scooter Libby, right?
Yeah, every president has, you know, a slew of pardons, and every president has some shady ones where they kind of get their buddies out of trouble, because when big money's involved in politics, there's usually some malfeasance going on.
Yeah.
So Scooter Libby was pardoned by Bush.
Yeah, he was
Bush Jr.
Right.
Right.
And he was he was convicted of obstructing justice, perjury, lying to federal investigators.
Pretty garden variety stuff.
Except he got really thrown under the bus. But it was for the whole Valerie Plame thing.
Yeah.
The CIA outing.
Right, right.
Supposedly, allegedly, in retaliation for Plame's husband coming up with analysis that's saying, like, Iraq does not have weapons of mass destruction.
Right.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah.
Clinton was also under fire, of course, for Mark Rich.
Yeah.
Not Mark Richt.
No.
Not our awesome football coach
you
here
can't,
at Georgia.
You can't pin anything on Mark Rich.
Dude, that guy's so squeaky clean.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mark Rich was the famous tax evader whose wife, ex-wife, left a large sum of money to the Clinton Library.
Right.
And so Bill said, yeah, pardon.
I was hoping you were going to do that today.
But one thing I thought was interesting was that it was a conditional pardon, which we'll talk about.
You noticed that as well.
Yeah, because he agreed, basically. He went to Switzerland to, I guess, evade charges initially.
Yeah, he fled the country.
Yeah, like Polanski style.
Yeah.
And Clinton said, I'll pardon you if you agree not to defend yourself against the civil suits brought by the United States government. And so he said, yeah, that's fine. Sure, I'll do that.
But they were pretty substantial. It wasn't just tax evasion. I uncovered this when I was researching for this podcast.
Yeah.
The guy was also indicted for selling or making oil deals with Iran during the Iran hostage crisis.
He's when
there
a
was
player.
Like a full-on embargo. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's light treason.
Right. Well, that's the funny thing, though. Well, not funny, but he said, sure, go ahead and pardon me, and I'll agree not to defend myself when I come back to the U.S. and get, you know, he never came back.
Yeah.
He stayed in Switzerland. He's like,
thanks for the pardon, chump.
Yeah, it's kind of nice here.
So I think there's a couple of reasons the Mark Rich case stands out, the Mark Rich pardon stands out so much. Is it seems so, it's just the worst kind of politics when some kind of elitist politician pardons one of his or her own.
Yeah.
Well, so far, one of his own, right? And then also, there were questions about whether Mark Rich bought that pardon.
Right.
Whether that endowment to the Clinton Library was in exchange for a pardon, right?
Bought a lot of books, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, the other interesting thing, you know who was lead counsel for Rich?
William Kuntzler.
For 15 years? Scooter Libby.
Oh, wow.
He was his lawyer, and he defended him and said, oh, he didn't evade any taxes. And Clinton used Scooter Libby and said, we have a hardcore Republican lawyer that's defending this guy.
Wow.
Saying he didn't do it. So then it's just funny how inbred it all is.
I think it's funny that people still differentiate between Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah. Well, that's a laugh.
Yeah. Lastly, this Mark Rich case, red hot. It came back when Obama was trying to get Eric Holder appointed as his attorney general.
Oh, really?
Yeah, trying to get him past the Senate. That was the big contentious issue. How did you sign off on the Mark Rich pardon? It was like arguably the worst pardon ever in the history of presidents.
Right.
And he almost didn't get nominated. Really? I remember they stretched it out for weeks.
Crazy.
Yeah. So anyway, let's talk about this, and then maybe we'll go back and talk about some more famous and not so famous but interesting pardons.
That sounds good, Josh.
Thanks, Chuckers. Man, we are doing this on the fly with the record button on.
What do we usually do?
We usually go beep and then talk about it and then edit that part out.
Right.
So, Chuck, what does a pardon do? Why would Mark Rich even be interested in having a pardon like this? Why would somebody who's been convicted of a crime, sentenced to prison, served their time, and been out for several years, be interested in getting a pardon? What's the point?
Well, first I would say, what are you kidding? But we'll spell it out for you. A pardon, the main thing it does is it gets you out of prison, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But the really awesome thing that it does beyond that is it restores your civil rights as a you know, free, non-federally incarcerated individual.
Or somebody who hasn't been convicted of a felony. You know, as a felon, Chuck, you're not allowed to own a firearm.
Or vote.
Right, which is why you couldn't vote on Tuesday.
Or jury duty, which is kind of nice. But
right, yeah, that one, I don't know if that's it's a disability, but that's what they're called collectively when you lose those rights after being convicted of a felony.
Yeah.
And that goes on your record. You you lose these rights, and that's called civil disability, right?
Yeah, and it restores every bit. It's almost like an annulment. It's as if nothing ever happened, save for the fact that it does stay on your record.
Right, and the records remain. It took several hundred years for them to finally establish that. There's a Supreme Court case in, I think, the 90s that said the records stay.
U.S. v. Noonan.
There's nice. Right off the top of your head, too. Yeah. But there's no, they don't have any effect on you as a citizen any longer. But that's just with the federal government.
Right.
And that's not even with all branches of the federal government. Basically, the president, when the president issues a pardon, mm-hmm. the president is daddy of the country right then and is saying, on behalf of the rest of the American family, uh-huh. we're going to forgive you for this transgression.
Right.
I'm your daddy. I'm everybody else's daddy. I'm going to make the decision, right. and let's just move on past this.
Right.
Now, your brother, the IRS, your uncle, the IRS, I should say,
yeah.
is probably still going to sue your ass off.
Your drunk uncle.
Right. But you are, I can't do anything about that, but you broke the laws, and we're going to forgive you for breaking the laws. Right?
Should we talk about other forms of clemency just so everyone's squared away?
Yeah, because a pardon, clemency is the umbrella term.
Yeah.
Pardon is one type of clemency.
That's the best kind.
Yeah.
That's what you're gunning for.
Right.
We can draw the distinction, though, my friend, with pardons, commutes, remissions, and what's the last one?
Respite.
Respite. Commutation, when you commute a sentence, that means you just make it shorter.
Right.
That's not used a whole lot.
You can also commute a sentence before it even starts.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's what happened with Scooter Libby.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He got a commutation, but not a pardon. So he's a blemished individual as a citizen, but he didn't have to go to prison.
So he can't vote.
No.
Or serve on a jury.
Or own a handgun.
Or own a handgun. That's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
We already talked about the full pardon, the granddaddy of them all. There is the conditional pardon, which we mentioned, which means I will do this for you if, and the Clinton example was one. Another good one you listed was
Jimmy Hoffa.
Jimmy Hoffa. Nixon pardoned Hoffa and said, I'll pardon you as long as you don't take part in any more labor organization.
Right.
And he was like,
and go sleep with the fishes.
But that's all I do.
Right. Yeah. And he had to go full on with the mob after that. His inevitable course was set with that agreement.
Remission, we mentioned, that is like when you say you don't have to pay a fine. It releases you from a legal obligation.
Again, but that's just with like the federal government.
Right.
And it's not necessarily with the IRS. The IRS sues
right.
you in civil court.
Yeah.
It's
It can't a civil obligation you owe to a family for restitution, they can't remiss
right.
that. Is that right?
Remit. But you would be remiss.
You would be remiss.
Right.
Jerry's laughing in there.
I heard.
Respite is basically a temporary thing where the president's like, you know what? Let me hold this off for a month or two while we look at it.
Right, like an execution?
Well, isn't that a stay, or is it the same thing?
I don't know. I don't know if a stay of execution is just issued by the governor.
Right.
Or if a stay of execution is a type of respite, maybe?
Because this is only federal cases, because the president can't touch state or local cases. Isn't that right?
That's true, too. Yeah.
So maybe that's the diff.
The feds execute people. The president could keep somebody who was sentenced to death through a court martial.
Oh, okay.
They could give them respite. It's kind of like, hey, here's a nice hot towel. Go sit in the corner while we figure out whether we're going to kill you
yeah.
or not.
And you can pile those on top of each other if you need more time. You can issue them in succession, and it doesn't interfere with the trial or anything like that.
Right. So you like a lot of these kind of work in conjunction, like the booyah combo
uh-huh.
that you want is the commutation of sentence before it even starts.
Right.
Followed by or in conjunction with the full pardon.
Or respite maybe, then the full pardon.
Right. But I mean if you love a sense of drama,
yeah, sure.
go you can tack the respite on to the beginning.
I just want to keep my butt out of jail. I don't care if it's dramatic or not.
Right. Right.
Just give me whatever puts me, you know, back on the sidelines. Or back in the game, sorry.
Back.
Mixing sports metaphors.
Yeah. That reminds me of a dream, Chuck, that I had.
Okay.
I dreamt that I was at a breakdancing championship, which I've actually been to before. But I was sitting there like watching like all these people breakdance, you know,
and they were
just awesome.
You were just watching it?
No, actually what I figured out was I dreamt that I was watching other people breakdance. I don't even have enough of an opinion of myself to dream that I myself is an awesome breakdancer.
Because that's what I was about to say, dude. I would be the master champion breakdancer in my dream.
Right, but you just said that you want to be out of jail so you can get back to the sidelines.
Touché.
That's what triggered that.
Touché.
Maybe we'll edit that out in post, huh?
No.
So, Chuck, what doesn't a pardon do? It sounds like it's basically the hand of God coming down, touching you on the head, and saying, go buy a gun, because you can.
Yeah. One thing it does not do, and you cannot touch, and they were pretty smart back when they wrote the Constitution, they made sure that, A, you can impeach a president, and B, that you cannot pardon an impeachment.
Right. They actually didn't include presidential pardons in a couple of the plans for the Constitution, the New Jersey plan and the Virginia plan.
Yeah.
Both lacked presidential pardons. And yeah. Alexander Hamilton was like, I think, Federalist Paper number 74.
Yes.
Yeah. He argued that there are times when this could really come in handy, guys. So let's put it in, but let's make sure it doesn't apply to impeachment, right? Because if the president can be impeached, and if he can't pardon himself for, while he's being impeached, then he won't become this absolute authoritarian. Yeah. He can't, possibly, right?
Sure.
So that was how it ended up in there. But actually, that went further back, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But they almost left the whole thing out. And then they said, no, we'll just follow custom.
Well, were you going to say it came over from England?
Yeah.
Say it, man.
Well, it's actually the whole idea is rooted in the prerogative of the king, the English king.
Yeah, we got a lot of our early ideas, clearly, since we had just, come from England.
Mm-hmm.
We're based on good old England.
Right. English common law.
Yeah.
Or royal law, I guess, is what this would be. And I think that's probably why presidential pardons weren't included in a couple of the really popular plans for the Constitution.
Sure.
It was because it kind of smacked of royal tyranny, right?
Yeah, but Charles II, I think, is the one who originally thought of the impeachment idea, right?
Well, either he thought of it and was a fan, or he was one of the weaker kings or one of the more benevolent kings because a parliament that was in session while he was reigning managed to slip that onto the custom of the prerogative of the English king. So you can overturn any court case except cases of impeachment, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is, there are some other ways that the courts over the years have sort of shaped, I guess you could say limited or defined how you can pardon and how you can't.
Nice.
Like we said, it's only federal cases. You can't affect civil cases at all. And like we also mentioned, restitution to a family. So let's say if O.J. Simpson, in a weird alternate world, were convicted of cutting his wife's head off.
If he had done it.
If he had really done that, he could have been pardoned for that, but let's say if the president was a big fan of the juice, but he could not have been relieved of paying Goldman all that money that he lost.
Right.
Which is weird, because he was found guilty, or not guilty, but what do you call
it? Liable.
Case? Liable.
Yeah.
For her death and his son's death, but
in a civil suit,
guilty in a court of law, criminally.
Yeah, weird.
So strange how that can happen in this country.
Yeah, that was a really weird moment in this country's history, huh?
Yeah.
Chuck, there's some other ways that the presidential pardon has been shaped. You can't force the idea used to be was that you can't force a person to take a pardon.
That's my favorite little nugget in this whole article.
Right. So you would think, like, oh, yeah, here's your pardon, especially if it's like a commutation of sentence and you get out of jail early.
Yeah.
Not everybody's down with that. Some people are what we call institutionalized.
Yeah.
Can't make it on the outside any longer.
Like Brooks in Shawshank.
Yes.
He was institutionalized. He couldn't make it, and he hung himself in the little halfway house sort of that they set him up with.
Right. It was one of the sadder moments of the Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
There was another guy who that may or may not have happened to. His story kind of ends slightly before that, as far as we can tell.
Yeah.
Or as far as we know. Calvin Coolidge.
Uh-huh.
The Cool.
The Coolster.
He gave a pardon to a guy who was in jail, and the guy didn't want to leave. So he directly ordered the warden to get the guy out of prison and shut the cell behind him.
Yeah. Well, there was the one caveat you did mention was you can refuse a pardon, but not when it applies to cases of life or death. So if you're on death row, you don't get a choice if you're pardoned. Isn't that how it works?
Yeah. Yeah.
The Supreme Court
worked that out as well. They're saying, like, no, if you want to die, we're not going to kill you just because you want to die if we've decided that you shouldn't die.
Right. And what's the deal with contempt of court? I didn't quite get that.
Okay. So, Chuck, This is a very, very important part, because
got a little
confusing. This is the one. I agree. I went back and read it,
yeah,
and I think it was one of those things where I was just so hot and bothered about it. Like, oh yeah, here's the crux of my whole article. Yeah, right. I just kind of ran past actually explaining it well.
Oh, well,
so let me try to do it a little better here.
Okay.
Okay. You were saying that if the president, if for some reason O.J. Simpson had been convicted of his murder. Alleged murder of Nicole Simpson
yes.
and Ronald Goldman, right?
Yes.
And the president had pardoned him, that pardon wouldn't have had any effect on the civil case against him by the Goldman family
right.
or the Brown family.
None.
Right? Because murder is legally an affront to the United States. It's an affront to the laws of the United States.
Yes.
And by the way, also, this would only if he had been convicted in federal court could the president's
right.
pardon have helped him, right?
Yeah, remember that.
Because the murder also has an effect on this family,
uh-huh.
we have civil courts.
Right.
There's civil law and criminal law.
Yeah.
President can forgive criminal law, can't do anything for civil law.
Right.
Because pardons only cover an affront to the United States. So,
okay.
at one point in time, a guy named William Howard Taft,
uh-huh.
who is Supreme who is the Chief Justice of
yeah.
the Supreme Court.
It was after his presidency, right?
It was after
yeah.
he was president. 11 years after he left the White House. He always said like he felt like he fulfilled his destiny as Supreme Court Justice. He didn't like being president.
Interesting.
Yeah. But as Supreme Court Justice, he helped give a tool to Congress
mm-hmm.
By saying that the presidential pardon is only to cover affronts to the United States. It doesn't cover affronts to a court, right? A contempt of court charge.
Sounds like a loophole.
That is a loophole.
Yeah.
And Congress has exploited it because Congress actually has the ability to hold people in contempt of Congress for refusing to testify. So, remember that whole impeachment clause?
Yeah.
Right? Where it literally says in the Constitution,
yeah.
The president has the power to pardon people mm-hmm. except in cases of impeachment,
yeah.
right? Without that contempt of court loophole, you'd have another loophole where the president could be like, I'm going to do anything I want and Congress can investigate me all at
right.
once, but none of my people are talking
yeah.
because they can be arrested and charged
and pardoned.
Sentenced and pardoned and keep their mouth shut the whole time and know there's a pardon coming.
Yeah.
That doesn't work for contempt of court cases because contempt of court or contempt of Congress is not technically an affront to the laws of the United States. It's an affront to Congress.
Right.
It's an affront
or
to
court.
The court.
Yeah.
So the presidential pardon can't do anything about it. So there's the one tool Congress has
right.
as far as battling the presidential pardon. They can
right.
compel witnesses to testify, and if they don't, they have actually a little jail
mm-hmm.
in the Senate and I think House chambers
yeah, oh yeah.
where they keep the person in contempt.
I bet it's a nice jail.
Was that any better?
Yeah. I got it. But, however, if a president does, if it's legitimate and if it's legal and if he does it right, or she, if we have a woman president one day, it is completely irrefutable.
Yeah.
If they do it right and it's on the, well, we say on the level. Like some of those last ones aren't really on the level, ethically speaking, but they're legal.
But you can't challenge whether they're on the level or not.
Right.
You
and
just can, you know, grouse
yeah,
about
sure.
them.
Congress has tried to put a stop to this over the years here and there. They've introduced bills to limit pardon power, but they've all failed because of a couple of reasons. Because it's in the Constitution, very clearly,
yeah.
Article 2, Section 2.
Right.
And Supreme Court likes to uphold the Constitution when they can, likes to stand behind it when they can. And the other reason is it's kind of a long-standing power. And they're not really used to, you know, they're not hip to getting rid of these things that have been around for a couple of hundred years.
Right. And for everybody who's just opened their email client to send us all these examples of the Supreme Court not standing behind the Constitution when they can, Chuck meant specifically standing behind the pardon power.
Well, yeah.
Article.
Sure, sure.
That's what you meant, right?
That's what we're talking about.
Okay, yeah.
Sorry. Thanks for pointing that out and stopping the flood of emails.
And not only that, Chuck, they actually, in 1974, the Supreme Court decreed it is spelled out in the Constitution, the president's power to pardon, and if you're going to find any flaws in it, you're going to have to go to that, like, one, two-sentence section and find your flaws there. Because it's in the Constitution, and you really can't touch it outside of the Constitution.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
So, Chuck, we were talking about the origins of this, you know, that it was found in the prerogative of the English kings. And then, you know, they talked about it, and finally the founders put it in the Constitution.
Right.
And originally it was to give the president the ability to, say, quell rebellion, insurrection.
Yeah.
And just basically make a deal with people who were rising up against the government and saying, look, if you guys go back home, we're going to forget all this that happened. I'll issue a blanket pardon, a.k.a. amnesty.
Yeah.
Very shortly after the Constitution was written, and then in, I think, 1794.
George Washington said, this is awesome. There's a whiskey rebellion going on. The farmers are uprising because they don't like being taxed.
Right.
I'm going to just forgive all you guys if you pipe down.
Yes.
Because you've been arrested. And they said, eh, okay.
All right, we'll go back home.
And that was like right after
but
the Constitution.
But we're taking our whiskey with us.
Yeah. And Jimmy Carter, like you said, to heal national wounds, Ford kind of pardoned Nixon, just to wrap that up. Carter did a similar thing to sort of put an end to the Vietnam era by pardoning all the draft dodgers, which a lot of people probably didn't like that move very much.
Yeah. A lot of people didn't like the Vietnam War very much either.
Good point.
Yeah.
One of my favorites, Josh, is when you point out that pardons a lot of times can sort of undermine laws, and that was the case with Kennedy. In 1956, the National Narcotics Act was basically a big hard, one of the first big hard drug laws where they had mandatory minimums for kind of small-time offenders. So Kennedy said, you know, that's really not fair that these small-time offenders are first-time offenders are in prison for like 5 or more years,
yeah,
and it's no good. So I'm going to issue a blanket pardon for all these guys and gals, and it kind of overturned the law in essence.
Yeah, and he's not the only person to do that.
No.
There's calls right now for Obama to issue blanket pardons to people who are convicted under mandatory crack minimums,
right?
Because there's such a disparity between mandatory minimums for cocaine, which is predominantly or considered a white drug,
right,
and crack, which is considered a black drug.
Yeah.
So if you get caught with the same amount of crack and coke, same value, you go to jail, you know, 5 times longer for crack.
Yeah.
Under these mandatory minimums, he hasn't so far, but there's a call for that same use of the presidential pardon to use that as a tool.
Sure.
Warren Harding basically overturned the Espionage Act, right?
Yeah, that was that the Tokyo Rose? No.
No, Espionage Act was World War One. Basically, if you were talking out against World War One, war in general, or were a conscientious objector, the federal government threw you in prison for up to 10 years, right?
Yes, and so you're talking about Eugene Debs.
Oh, this guy's kind of a hero of mine.
He was a Socialist Party candidate.
Yeah.
What I thought was funny, he was a candidate 5 times in 1900, 04, 08, 12, and 20.
Mm-hmm.
So he took off 1916, I guess, to regroup.
I wondered if there were like if there was a candidate or two in there that he was like, that guy's better than me. I'm going to let him run. Or if he's just like, I'm tired of this whole thing.
Yeah, I would have thought after he lost 4 times, he's like, I can't do this again.
Well, I think he's kind of like the Ralph Nader of the turn of the 20th century.
Yeah.
The turn of the 19th century.
Well, he spoke out, like you said, against our involvement in World War One, and he was convicted as for treasonous speech under the Espionage Act, and then sentenced to 10 years. And Harding said,
here in Atlanta,
yeah,
in the federal pokey,
he got a million votes from prison.
Yeah, and for his 1920 campaign, a million votes. 1920.
That's a lot of votes.
It was a lot of votes, and he was enough of a contender that when Mr. President Warren G. Harding issued a blanket pardon for people under the Espionage Act, he invited Eugene Debs to drop by the White House to hang out after he got out of the pen.
Yeah. And what did Debs say? No way.
No, he went.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he had a visit.
I'm just kidding. Ford, that mentioned Tokyo Rose, he pardoned the only American woman that was part of the propaganda reading of Japanese propaganda reading on Radio Tokyo's Zero Hour. And she was convicted of, was it treason again?
Yeah.
And years later, reporters dug up some info that was kind of like, this is a trumped up charge and this isn't really right. So Ford said, pardoned.
Yeah. Her story's pretty interesting in and of itself.
Oh, yeah. The whole Tokyo Rose thing is, I think.
Yeah. Patty Hearst. She got a pardon.
I love Patty Hearst.
She got, well, we talked about her, I think, in the brainwashing podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when I turned you into a preppy?
Yeah.
Yeah. She was kidnapped and allegedly forced to commit bank robberies with the Symbionese Liberation Army,
yeah.
who also made an appearance, by the way, for you Stuff You Should Know fact finders, in the SWAT podcast.
What, the SLA did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Remember they got in the shootout with the
right.
first SWAT team, or they were one of the reasons the SWAT team came up.
Yeah.
Anyway,
well, we should point out who she was, just for those of you who don't know. She was the granddaughter of newspaper magnate William Randolph Hearst, which is what Citizen Kane was. He was based on him.
Right. So Citizen Kane and Elvin and the Chipmunks, The Squeakquel.
Oh, that was based on Hearst, too?
It was basically a remake of Citizen Kane.
I had no idea. So, yeah, Hearst was, she was like, oh, they brainwashed me and made me, they kidnapped me and brainwashed me and made me rob banks.
And shoot at pigs.
And so they said, no, I don't think so. You're convicted in prison for 7 years. And Jimmy Carter stepped in and commuted it. And then later on, he asked Billy Boy to give her the full pardon, which he did.
Yeah.
And then she was in every John Waters movie ever made, I think, since then.
I've not seen a one.
I think she was in Crybaby to begin with, and she's been in every one since then, including his upcoming film.
What is it?
Fruitcake is his next one.
He has the best mind.
He said it's a Christmas movie.
Excellent.
Called Fruitcake.
I like that guy.
You've never
Having
seen
never
movies?
Seen a movie, I like John Waters. He's cool.
You know what you should see, I guess, if you have never seen one? I wouldn't start you off with the early, like, really nasty ones.
Why?
Well, actually, maybe that's
a little
for you.
Bit,
it's perfect for you.
Pink Flamingos, I would think, right?
Yeah, get Pink Flamingos and watch Divine eat poop.
Okay.
For the love of God.
Okay.
I would say Serial Mom. Another one with Kathleen Turner before she was a man.
I thought that was probably during the man transition.
The man-zition?
Yeah.
Perhaps. Josh, I want to talk about Arthur O'Brien just for a sec. He's my favorite one because President Abraham Lincoln pardoned him from a charge of bestiality, attempted bestiality.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what he was actually trying to do? With what animal?
I think I did when I wrote this, but I don't anymore.
Not important. Let's just call it bestiality. But Lincoln said, you know what? He's a really good guy otherwise, and he's led a really good life, and he was really hammered when it happened. So I'm just going to go ahead and pardon that.
Yeah, and he did. Wow. Arthur O'Brien is now a unbesmirched bestialist, zoophilist. Zoophilist.
Zoophilist?
I think so. Chuck, actually, that Arthur O'Brien case is a really exemplary of the kind of thinking that goes into a presidential pardon or is supposed to, right? Lincoln said, hey, the guy was drunk. He's led an exemplary life.
Right.
And he made a mistake when he was doing that with that animal.
Yeah.
Right? And he knows it.
Clearly.
He hasn't tried to get with an animal since, so I'm going to pardon him. In 1893, the DOJ said, you know what? The president needs help with this kind of stuff, so we're going to take on this power. Or Congress said, DOJ, take on this power. In 1981, the Office of the Pardon Attorney was created.
Yeah, and he's basically, I keep saying he, I feel like I should say she, because I don't know if we've had a female pardon attorney, but they are completely in charge of handling the thousands of requests that office is. So what they do is they do the same thing as they did way back with Lincoln. They dig around the case. They find out the circumstances of the case, whether or not they've made restitution and led a really good life, and maybe they've left prison, or maybe they work with kids and have done really great things. And then they are the ones who make the recommendation to the president. But the president, I mean, if they're smart, they'll listen to what they say because they've done all the legwork. But the president doesn't have to follow the advice.
And actually, apparently the DOJ or the pardon attorney's office said, you probably shouldn't pardon Mark Rich. He doesn't really fit the criteria. And Clinton went,
backdoored
him. That's going around.
Yeah.
Right.
Should we close with some stats?
Yeah, let's do it.
We can't talk about pardons without just throwing out who has done what. So we're going to go ahead and say that the all-time granddaddy of pardons was Roosevelt, not Teddy.
Numerically.
Well, numerically, Franklin Roosevelt.
But he had three terms.
Yeah, but there were, over 3,000 pardons?
There were, and it's a lot of pardons, but that's, I think, 28% of the pardons that have come across his desk, he signed off on.
Truman led the way with percentage-wise, right?
Right, 40-something.
42%.
42.
And James Garfield and William Henry Harrison, of course, had no pardons because they weren't in office very long.
No, W.H.H. died of pneumonia after a month I'm William. Wait, here's William Henry Harrison. I died in 30 days.
Yeah. Jimmy, recently, let's just go over the recent ones. Carter issued 566. Reagan issued 406. Oh, Billy Clinton did 456. Mm-hmm. And then the Bush boys came along, and Bush Sr., Herbert Walker, only 77.
Yeah.
And George W., pardoned 113.
Right. And Herbert Walker pardoned 77, you said?
Total, yeah.
One of them was Caspar Weinberger, who was the defense secretary during the Iran-Contra affair.
That was his big controversial one. Everyone has at least one.
Sure. Why not?
That's crazy.
You're on your way out anyway. Yeah.
Wacky commanders in chief.
You're going to work for Goldman Sachs afterward anyway. You might as well
exactly.
Who cares? So I guess that's it, right?
Yeah, I'm done.
If you want to see some funny pictures of old-timey presidents or George W. Bush pardoning a turkey, you should probably look up presidential pardons in the search bar at howstuffworks.com. All right, so Chuck, then what are we going to do then right now?
A couple little orders of business, a little pitch, and a thank you.
So we need a new sound. It's time for pitch. All right. I have no idea what that sound was.
Josh, we are recreating our awesome All-Star Trivia night that we did in New York right here in our hometown of Atlanta, Georgia. And we have not got a location yet. And we are not positive on a date, but it's looking like it might be the first weekend in September, the weekend of Dragon Con.
Which is Labor Day.
Labor Day weekend. We're looking at that Friday, September 3rd. Don't hold us to that, but we are having an All-Star Trivia in Atlanta.
It will probably be the weekend of Dragon Con.
So we're going to say most likely.
I don't know about the Friday or whatever. I think it's probably going to be that weekend. I don't see why we wouldn't. Why wouldn't we?
Exactly.
Let's do it.
So once again, we're putting a call out to people that have venues that might be interested in hosting.
Suggestions, trivia guys?
Sure.
Yeah.
Whatever you got. And we also want to say thank you quickly to Mark Rhodes. Mark Rhodes is a big fan, and he's been helping us troubleshoot this OS 4 iPhone update issue that we've been having where people cannot download directly to their phone. And Mark's been a big help.
Yeah.
So thank you, Mark, for that.
And I want to say thank you to Tom Rhodes, the stand-up comedian who was huge in the 90s, whose act I caught at the Gotham nightclub. The Gotham Comedy Club is what it was. He was hilarious. So thank you to Mark Rhodes and Tom Rhodes.
And thanks to Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
For being such a great wrestler.
Exactly. We have another Rhodes, Chuck. Lieutenant Rhodes, who's in Iraq right now.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
We haven't heard from him in a while. So.
No. So, hey, send in an email, will you, Lieutenant Rhodes, to let us know you're doing all right. If you know a Rhodes that we should be thanking, let us know. Maybe we'll thank him. There's Rhodes all over the place, apparently. You can wrap it up, spank it on the bottom, and send it to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Want more HowStuffWorks? Check out our blogs on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
Childproofing people's homes is hard, but Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, they make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/powersafely. Available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.